DW Africa Link.
In a pivotal gathering that could shape the future of an entire region, West African leaders wrapped up two major summits in Abuja, an inaugural economic summit, and the 67th ordinary session of ECOWAS. From the agency to activate a regional standby force against growing insecurity to calls for deeper economic integration and intra-African trade, the stakes were high. As President Bola Ahmed Tinubu bowed out after a two-year tenure as ECOWAS chair, the message was clear. West Africa must unite not just in security, but in shared prosperity. That's what's coming up. Stay tuned. My name is Josephine Mahachi. Welcome to Africa Link, the podcast that connects you to the stories that matter from Africa.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
Leaders of the West African Bloc, ECOWAS, have concluded two major meetings in Abuja, the inaugural economic summit and the 67th ordinary session. They acknowledged that the region is in a state of emergency, grappling with rising unrest and political instability. While the activation of the ECOWAS standby force dominated security discussions, leaders also focused on boosting intra-regional trade and tackling transnational crimes like human trafficking, drug smuggling, and arms proliferation. Outgoing ECOWAS chair, President Bola Ahmed Tinubu, handed over to Sierra Leone's President Julius Maada Bio, who emphasized the importance of youth and women's economic empowerment and the urgent need to curb brain drain. The leaders also spoke about ending sexual assault against women, hunger and human trafficking, especially of young women and girls. Now joining me for this discussion to unpack these issues are Grace Johanna, manager of the Salama Sexual Assault Referral Center in Kafchan, Kaduna State, and DW correspondent Ben Adam Shemang. But I'll start with you, Grace. Just as I mentioned that the ECOWAS summit just ended and the leadership says they want to fight transnational crimes and one which youths are mostly victims, what is the prevalent level of human trafficking in Nigeria and generally in West African countries?
Thank you so much. Human trafficking, we know, is a form of modern-day slavery where individuals are exploited and forced into labor, sex work, or other forms of bondage against their will. Now, the prevalence is so high, a little. Let's say in Africa, 73%, 75% of dictator trafficking victims were children. From the reports we know, human trafficking is significant issue in Nigeria, and the prevalence anyway is high. Let's leave it at 75%, as the report has it.
So from the discussion that happened yesterday, I'm sure you were following, do you foresee the group, we're talking of ECOWAS, improving in this fight, because a lot has been happening, especially the past few months or rather few years in terms of these fights. Do you foresee ECOWAS improving their stance on this?
I foresee it improving by God's grace. It's very possible that they may have to take the fight more seriously. However, sustained commitment and tangible actions will be very crucial in making it meaningful or making very meaningful impact in our societies or in our communities. It's very possible. I foresee it happening.
Right. Now, Ben, coming to you, two summits in one place there in Abuja. You were so busy, I'm sure, juggling around these summits. Tell us more about it. What happened? Throw more light.
We have, for the first time, they call it the inaugural West African Economic Summit. You realize that the economic community of West African states, they've always been meeting, but to now give meaning to the economic aspect and the fact that there has to be trade across the states to ensure that there is intra Ghana can trade with Nigeria. Nigeria can trade with Benin. Benin can trade with Togo. So that we leave this aspect of carrying always our raw materials to Europe or America or some other places. First of all, we trade with us. So the fact that they should have that internal summit, economic summit, which they call West African Economic Summit. And thereafter, it followed with the usual summit they do since the ECOWAS was established about 50 years ago. Every year they meet twice. That of this weekend was the 67th in its series. They just looked, as usual, problems confronting the region, security, human trafficking, the lack of employment, and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Now, tell us more about some of the promises that were made at these summits, Ben. I know that it was also emphasized that they are low integration programs among the nations. Can you just also take us through that and other promises that were made at the summit?
Yes, you see, for a very long time, there has been this yearning, and they even started what they call West African Gas Pipeline. It will start from the River State in Nigeria. It goes through Benin, enters Togo, Ghana, down to even some North African countries. So they said it has been in the doldrums. They want to wake it up. They also want to have what they call West African Power Pool. In other words, there has to be a pool where electricity can be generated, you supply within the West African region. So these two has been in the doldrum. So again, they have what is called the West African Coastline. It's an expressway, highway from Lagos up to Abidjan trade can easily be done within the West African region to ensure there is that cooperation, that integration. Because of this insecurity that is plaguing West Africa, now there was the summit where they said there has to be a West African standby force that can always intervene in situations where there are breakdowns of law and order. Even Tinubu, as he was stepping down, really lamented that it was not taken off at all. And so he said there has to be a way that this will take off to ensure that West Africa is secured, apart from also blocking inroads, that West Africa should not be transit camp for drugs, shouldn't be a place for trafficking of human beings, shouldn't be a place for trafficking of arms and all that stuff. So they are promising to give it a fight.
Right. Now, Grace, as you just heard here, Ben touching on some of the issues that were discussed at the summit, insecurity. I mean, it still tops, it's still top on the agenda. What are the very reasons that cause human trafficking?
Human trafficking, we have so many factors, you could say, including poverty, lack of education and awareness, weak law and enforcement, and law enforcement. Sometimes corruption and cultural or social norms are some of these things that cause human trafficking. And sometimes crisis or conflicts are some of these reasons. Now, these factors interconnect and aggravate one another, making it a challenging issue in combating human trafficking. So there are some of these factors that bring about human trafficking.
And in your own opinion, Grace, do you think that these leaders will now take the fight against human trafficking seriously? I know I asked about every other promise that was made at the summit, but the new chairman of the regional body, President Julius Maada Bia of Sierra Leone, also mentioned and talked about these crimes, which he really emphasized on human trafficking, drugs and arms. And also that youths are actually the ones that are affected more, and women. Do you think they will now take it seriously, or where do you think needs improvement?
I'm very sure they'll take it seriously once everybody is committed and we put in sustainability into it, strengthening all system, putting all system and strengthening the system. It's very possible to fight it, because these youth are leaders of tomorrow, and using them, involving them into all this, involving all stakeholders and being committed, having political will, having all that it takes, involving the necessary stakeholders, including non-governmental organizations, I'm very sure the leaders can fight it. Of course, the leaders cannot do it alone. We need everybody's hand on deck to be able to fight this so that we bring it to near zero level. It's very possible.
Right. Right. But President Bola Tinubu has been the chairman, and as a Nigerian president as well, where do you think he could have improved, or what needs to be improved as President Bear of Sierra Leone takes over?
We just need to continue with the strengthening of the system. Everybody have to put hand on deck. It takes everybody to make it work. So it's not a one-man's show. It's everybody's responsibility. So we expect that everybody will work together with even the new president so that we meet our targets.
Mm. And Ben, just to get back to you as well on this issue of transnational crimes being problems in ECOWAS countries, you've done a lot of reports, even as President Bola Tinubu was the chairman. Now ECOWAS has a new chairman. You have also reported so much about these crimes in the past. Just to find out from you as well, where you think the president could have improved so that the new chairman can take over, and how is this fight against these crimes then and now?
Identify the fact that human trafficking is in two forms. We have the internal. It's done internally in every country. And from there, it moves from one country to another. In Nigeria, it's very, very prevalent that some people go to villages, deceive the poor, the uneducated, and they carry their children to cities with the hope of giving them good employments. It doesn't turn out to be so in most cases. Some are turned into sex workers. Some are just doing some domestic work that are inhuman. Then some are taken across the boundaries. Some go to Niger, some are in Senegal, some are in Mali. And from the reports we have a hearing from, let's say, the National Agency for the Prohibition in Trafficking Persons in Nigeria. In fact, they go, there are some Nigerians being detained, some almost in servitude in Niger, in Mali, and Nigerian authorities have always gone there to bring them back. But the number is so large, so huge that when these people come back, they said there are still quite a lot of them on their way to Libya. And because of the crisis that Niger has, Mali has, Burkina Faso has, these are transit routes. Now, they're saying that they are no members of ECOWAS any longer. So in terms of a diplomatic relationship, to even go there, there has to be all sorts of problems. So we expected that Tinubu would have a kind of found a way of ensuring that the kind of anti-human trafficking agency that Nigeria has, Ghana should have, Benin should have, they now work in tandem so that once there is any child that is affected in Ghana, Nigeria should see that it's a Nigerian child that is affected. The Beninois authorities should see that it is their own child that is affected in Burkina Faso. If they give it a collective fight, like Grace is saying, I think we'll come out of it. So I think that Tinubu ought to have done more in terms of doing that. But whether Julius Maada Bio of Sierra Leone as the new chairman will take off from there is another thing we have to wait and see.
Mm. We all have to wait and see, but it looks like the attention from his speech, talking of Julius Maada Bio of Sierra Leone, was more on the youths and women. His speech was more on that. And obviously, that must have been a better deal going by his speech during the summit, Ben. What was the atmosphere like as he gave that speech, and especially focusing on women and youth?
Honestly, you could see that the women were just applauding that, bearing in mind that they're always bearing the brunt when things go bizarre. If you are talking of war, usually the men will just walk away and you don't find them. But a woman will always remember her baby and go back home. Where is my baby? You see one woman carrying 2-3 babies to escape from a crisis that are engulfing West Africa now. So, for the youth, you can see that they constitute about 65% of the population of West Africa. Putting them together, in other words, they are the voting population. They are the future leaders. They are the ones that must be depended upon. And so that is why Julius Maada Bio is saying that they have to now be the focal point in terms of policies. They have to be included. Not that the women will not be given loans. They are not qualified because there are some traditional laws or practices that inhibit them, so they want to them have, in fact, the Director General of the World Trade Organization, talking of Professor Ngozi Weala, she was there to give impetus to this, and she said, look, time has come that everybody will have to play a role to ensure that West Africa is actually being developed.
Right. Now, Grace, I saw you definitely want to add something there when I spoke about the women and the youth, and Ben says that they actually bear the whole brand. But you can also comment on that if you want to add something. But you're also the manager of Salama Sexual Assault Referral Center. What has been the role of the center in the fight against human trafficking and gender-based violence?
Okay, thank you so much. Actually, the center was opened because of sexual and gender-based violence, in particular rape and other forms of sexual and gender-based violence. We have 50 of these centers in Nigeria across 24 states, and Kaduna State happened to have 4 centers so that it will be able to service our survivors of these types of violence. Now, we do a lot of comprehensive support services for our survivors. That has to do with medical intervention, has to do with psychosocial counseling, has to do with optional legal intervention, optional for the adult, but for children, we ensure justice for them too, and every other one. Now, the Sexual Assault Referral Center offers free services for survivors, which is a kudos even to the state government. Among all these 50 states, we have some that are private, but for state government, the state government has taken it upon itself to say this is a free service for our survivors so that they don't feel so bad when they come because of the bitter experience they have passed through. So services are free in our centers, very comprehensive. We have the medical doctor, we have the nurses, we have the lawyers that helps in attending to our clients where we need to go to the court. We have counselors, center counselors, and then we do a lot of psychosocial support too. Just to mention but a few. To crown it all, we do referrals, a lot of referrals. We do not work alone. We work with other stakeholders in our communities. We work with stakeholders. And with that synergy, it's helping us to get responses for our clients or for our survivors.
Right. And speaking of psychosocial, Grace, what has been the stories rescued victims of human trafficking have been telling you?
Even from your voice, the way you were asking me, I was feeling it within me because we've recorded a lot of such trafficking and with their bitter experience. Oh, my God. It's so traumatic. Thank God for psychosocial support and thank God for the centers. I kept wondering without these centers, what would have been the situation of some of these people? Now, let me just give you 2 or 3 scenarios where one of them said she was trafficked from the far north and was to be taken to the east for a job, only for her to find herself in one of the countries, to be precise, in Burkina Faso. And she came back with pregnancy and never come back to her real town and went to one of the northern states again. And she stood there until she gave birth. When she came back, home, and the people at home said, we don't know you. We don't want to accept you. We will have to know the father of this child. And a good Samaritan saw her hanging around and brought her to the center. So we engaged her into conversation. And I said, okay, can you tell us your story? She started. She narrated what I'm just saying. And I said, can you remember precisely who is the father of this baby? She said, but I told you, so many men slept with me. Oh, and I don't know who actually is the father of this baby. I cannot tell it. They slept with me. They collected the money. The woman collected the money. She sees our phone. We cannot communicate. But one of the ladies went to commit abortion. She couldn't make it. And I was scared of committing that abortion. That's her story. And she said, let her find her way out. Somehow, she found her way to one of the northern states and she came back. And the moment she gave birth, the child was 3 days, she came down to her community. And there she found herself in that predicament. They brought her to the center. Yes, we got a temporary shelter for her, intervened. The child was healthy. She was healthy. Everything was fine. And then we have to refer to the next level. We have a strong or robust referral system where we have such cases at the level we refer to the next level. So we refer to the Ministry of Human Services and Social Development, and they continued from there. She has bounced back to life, and she's doing very, very well. Now we have a child that came, and he ran away from a camp. They took him, and they took him to the farm somewhere walking. He said, no school, no mosque, no church, and nothing to do, and he has no really relationship with people. And he find his way the first time, he ran away. Now he was a product of broken home, of gender-based violence, husband and wife. The father went his way, the mother went her way. And because dowry was not paid, the mother packed them and brought them to the father's side, in one of the northern side, and they took him there. And from there, he ran away looking for safety. He wants to go back to school. Now this case was brought again, we refer him through the security agency. They invited they were able to get the trafficker before we know. I think they referred the case, and the case is ongoing. I think he has been reunited to his father's side too. Now, this among so many other of such trafficking, then the sex one, we still have three children that were dropped out of school. A neighbor did that, they only found themselves in Burkina Faso. Thank God for the synergy we have on ground with these law enforcement agencies. And they got the order and they quickly went, and the children were returned back to their communities and reunited to their family. These things are ongoing in the name of, oh, help me, help me. And because of poverty, somebody thought, oh, it's a genuine person coming their way, only for them to find themselves in a different place. So some of these stories, among so many, so touching and so traumatic. Thank God for psychosocial support and intervention. Most of them has gone back to life. Some have gone back to school, and some of them are still struggling to survive it. That's what I can just mention for now.
Yeah. And just speaking of awareness as well, Grace, I think we've seen there's a man from Nigeria who uses social media platforms also to bring this awareness. I remember seeing, I think an aeroplane, Air Peace actually went to Abidjan, rather Cote d'Ivoire, to bring some young girls back to Nigeria. Some of them were pregnant, as you're saying. So just also to find out what other forms of awareness you're using in terms of ensuring that these young girls, if they find themselves in this predicament, how they can easily reach you. I mean, social media right now could be the easiest, right? But I don't know about your organization, how best you do it.
We do a lot of awareness creations. We go to communities, we do radio programs, we have flyers. Like the SAC Center have a global way of announcing. We have our hotlines. I told you we have 50 SAC centers in Nigeria, and we have a center where we meet, we go for annual meetings, and we come down and step down. Besides that, we do a lot of awareness. The state government is not left behind, very serious on this, and that's why we even have the SAC centers, and each of the SAC centers are mandated to go for awareness creation so that our people will know what is happening. And people are encouraged to speak up, don't keep quiet. When you see something, say something and do something, and that's where the early warning signs comes up. So that intervention can come quickly, and then we make sure that these survivors don't find themselves as victims, and they fight it and they come out of it. So some of them, sometimes even when their phones are seized and they can't communicate, they find a way of speaking. Like one of the experience we have recently, one of them said her phone was seized when she just arrived there. But somehow she was able to call her mother in the midnight. And the mother got the call in the midnight. The mother swift into action and came to the SAC center. And we involved the law enforcement agency. As I speak with you, the child was returned back to Nigeria from Burkina Faso. So we still look forward to maybe other children that are there, and let's see how they come. So awareness is ongoing. We go to churches, we go to gatherings. Sometimes we use public address system. We do rallies, especially 16 days of activism. We use 16 days of activism to speak to people so that everybody be part of this fight. It's not only on human trafficking, general gender-based violence. Thank you.
Thank you. Grace Johanna, manager of the Salama Sexual Assault Referral Center in Kafchan, Kaduna State, and DW correspondent in Abuja, Ben Adam Shimang, many thanks for joining us. That's it for this edition of Africa Link. Remember, you are not just a listener, but a crucial part of our community, and your engagement is crucial in shaping the direction of our discussions. We value your insights and encourage you to share your thoughts with us. Remember, you can find all of the Africa Link podcast episodes on Spotify and Apple, or wherever you get your podcasts from. This episode was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe. My name is Josephine Mahachi. Thanks for listening. Until the next one, it's bye for now.
DW. Made for Minds.